Welcome to Black Hollywood Live. Today on Fit Club, we are going to talk about women rushing to get IUDs because of Trump, and can playing on turf cause cancer in children? Guest host with me is entrepreneur Sherry Johnson. Stay tuned for more.
I messed up.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, Fit Club.
All right, you guys, welcome back. Welcome to Fit Club. I am your host, Fallon Mercedes. You guys can catch me online at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon on Snapchat, on Instagram. And right now, I have the lovely Miss Sherry Johnson. And if you do not know who she is everything. She is a mother. She is a wife. She is a fitness entrepreneur. She is a trainer. She is a Pilates instructor. She is one of my mentors and women that I look up to. So I'm so happy to have you on the show. I feel like we are going to have some great topics for you to chime in on as we talk about many things in life and at work. We also work together. Awesome. It's going to be great to discuss all this stuff with you guys on air. While you guys are watching, feel free to tweet at us on social media, on Instagram, and let us know what you are thinking about the conversation. And if you're on YouTube, please give us 5 stars. All right, so our first topic is a touchy one. So we all know that Trump is in office, and he has stated that he might try to get rid of Obamacare. He's working on that. But with that, the Affordable Care Act, that has guaranteed so many women to have their birth control taken care of, meaning financially paid for. They did not have to purchase their birth control. But now that Trump is in office and is vocal about trying to take this act away, a lot of women are rushing to Planned Parenthood and many doctors' offices to get IUDs, because IUDs, if you don't know, it's a type of birth control that can last many, many years once it's in place. So if they can get their Affordable Care Act to cover it now, or their Obamacare, they say that it will outlast Trump's presidency. How do you feel, or do you really feel like there are that many women rushing out to get these IUDs because they're worried that their birth control, they won't be able to afford it?
You know, I haven't heard that, but I can see that being a concern. Mm-hmm. Not only does Planned Parenthood take care of birth control pills or birth control, it also helps women who can't afford to get their mammograms and pap smears and any type of cancer screening. So, I mean, that is a main issue as well. Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard about the IUDs, but I think my main concern would be all my other screenings that I would need that I really can't afford.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that maybe they would try to make birth controls a little more affordable. I don't know what the side effects are of IUDs, so I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so I looked up some of the side effects. You know, I was trying to dig in there to see if there was really, you know, harsh side effects out there, but really a lot of, or minor cramping. It might change your menstrual cycle a little. Mm-hmm. Some people, when they first get it, will complain of some back pain, and then some people just reject it. It doesn't stay in them the way it fits. But majority of them that do get it, it does stay. And then sometimes, you know, the one out of 1,000 people will get pregnant if, you know.
Right.
Because it's not 100%, you know.
It's not 100% sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was really interested when I read this. It was kind of really eye-opening as a woman to see what a president or, you know, somebody different in office, how it can affect me as a woman. And to be honest, I feel like my personal decisions about my body and having a baby, I would not want them to be influenced by any president or anybody in the White House. But I can see why a lot of women, like I was reading this report on CNNHealth.com, and there was one individual who, she was saying that she's a graduate student. She cannot get pregnant in the next, you know, 4 years because she needs to finish schooling. her and her husband have been together for 7+ years, and it's just something that they cannot afford. She's going to school. She's not working. She's trying to, you know, better educate herself and give herself and her future children a better life. She does not want to worry, I can't afford my birth control. Now, an IUD in itself costs $1,000 to insert. And that's not, you know, covering the cost once you, because you cannot insert it. A doctor has to insert it. So a lot of women are thinking, let me get this covered now while I have Obamacare, because once it goes away, a lot of people do not have the luxury of having $1,000 to have something like this, you know, put in them.
So with the Affordable Care Act supposed to be dissipating or disappearing or leaving, and then most of the women's health care issues are being done away with, I mean, that should really be an outrage, because women have fought for a long time to be able to have the right to choose and to be able to decide what they want to do with their body, whether you're pro-life or against pro-life. You still should have the right,
the choice
to choose what you want to do. If you do not feel comfortable with an IUD and you want to take, you know, alternative birth control precautions, then that should be, you should be able to have that.
That access.
Now, but if it was the, now let's play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. If it was the other way around and we got rid of the Viagra.
Then tell me. I love you, Sherry.
Then tell me.
Who would be outraged?
Right.
All
okay.
Over the world.
So look. So why is it that they can have the power to tell us what to do with our body, but when that little blue pill disappears, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will see men marching in the streets.
Exactly.
Okay?
But so, I wonder, and I don't know this. I don't know if Viagra is actually covered by Obamacare or the affordable.
I don't know.
That's something that I'm going to have to look up after our show.
Because look, if you think about it, I mean, men kind of, well, it's not kind of, men run everything. Most of the testing and stuff is done for men. Medications are done for men.
And the men,
men,
again, in the White House who are signing off, it's majority men.
And they probably are using Viagra. So, I'm sorry. But I mean, so if we did really tit for tat, because I know that men want that pill if they're having an issue with sexual dysfunction. So, I mean, I don't know how they can choose that we can keep having that. And I'm sure it's probably covered under their insurance or under Affordable Act, Care Act, or Obamacare, as they want to call it. But women should have the right. This should not be an issue. We shouldn't have to negotiate. We shouldn't have to be rushing out,
even
trying to get
same
stuff.
Same thing before on this show, I was talking about the tampon tax.
Oh, that's crazy.
Again, here we are, a woman. It's something that we
need,
and we are taxed for it. It's crazy. It shows you how this country has made progress in terms of women rights, but we still have a
long way to go,
unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Just some more stats for you. Planned Parenthood put out some stats since Trump has been in office. IUD appointments have went up 900%.
Wow, that's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
That is so crazy.
So it's really a true thing. Women are really, you know, and reading this, it actually opened my eyes. I'm like, okay, should I be running out to go get an IUD right now?
So what is the age? Did they say what age the women are that are rushing? Is it from, what, 15, 18, 20 to 30s or 40s?
I mean, it didn't give the age, but the article that I was doing the research on, it had a lot of graduate students talking, women in college who are running out to get it because they're trying to further their education to set up a better life for themselves and their children, you know?
Yeah, this is going to be something to really keep our eye on because once most of the women's rights are gone, where are we going to be? What, I mean, is our voice not enough? I mean, example of the march they had downtown Los Angeles. I did.
Okay, so tell us about that. I wasn't able to go. How was it?
It was the most amazing thing, and I think to have that many people from all different backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds to be in a friendly environment. Let me tell you, we were smashed like so close to each other, but when you needed to get through, people were very polite. They let you move through. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing to see how many people wanted to be heard and were standing not only for women's rights, but just human rights in general. And I think that's what's happening with this election, that a lot of people want to pick who's a winner and who's a loser. It's really not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about who's in office and what are they going to do for the people that are putting them there? What are they going to do for the Americans that are here, that have fought, that have worked, that have sweat, and did all these things? What is that person, that president, whoever it should be, what is he going to do for the people? It's not about taking care of your own campaign. It's taking account of all the American people and not just the ones that voted for you. So that's kind of how I look at it. But it was amazing. It was just, I'm glad I went. I was debating, should I go? Should I not go? Should I not go? And I went. My husband went with me, and we marched.
Was there a lot of men there?
It was tons, lots of men there, a lot of men. Beautiful. We had just all kinds of people. It was amazing.
So, what kind of at the march? What were people being vocal about? What were they marching for?
Well, there was everything. It was for transgender, gay rights, lesbian rights, marriage. Birth control, the right to choose. It was just everything you could think of that someone feels that they're going to be violated about their own personal choices, about their lifestyle and how it will affect them because of the president that we have in office. So that's what most people were fighting for. And then just unity and love and all those things, you know, it was really about just loving everybody and trying to come together, you know. It was beautiful. It was truly, truly beautiful.
Now, I know with the Obamacare, it covers a lot of people's medical cares, including, you know, getting screenings for cancer. So in Washington State, there was a research that recently was published about athletes, especially younger children, who have been playing on turf fields, are being linked to higher risks of cancer. Now, this came about with one soccer coach by the name of Griffin. He started noticing a lot of his young soccer players, we're talking about 13, 14 years old, after many, many years of playing soccer, having cancer.
That's crazy.
And, you know, you think of soccer players, majority of the time, these are not kids that are sitting home, you know, binging while watching TV. They're practicing day in, day out, being physical, being active,
being committed.
And who are mostly, most likely eating healthy food to go with that athletic lifestyle. So he found it very, very interesting that 53 of his players, both former and current, have had different forms of blood cancers, which include leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and many others. And what he noticed also after doing more research is that 60% of his goalkeepers that were soccer players were having the cancer. So he came to terms with, they've been playing on turf fields, and actually the U.S. in general has over, I think it's 12,000 turf fields, and you see them popping up more and more and more. So he hired a research company and a couple scientists to dive into this more, and they believe that it's the turf. It's, I don't know if you've seen them, those little black dolls. Now, if you don't know what turf is, a lot of schools, fields, stadiums, they're replacing regular grass with turf because grass is so hard to upkeep year round. So if you look under this fake grass, you'll see little black dots. They're rubbery. They bounce all over the place, but it allows the children, athletes, all ages, I shouldn't say just children, be able to play all year on the fields. But these researchers and scientists believe that, especially for the goalies, even during a warm-up, a goalie can hit the ground 50 to 100 times.
Wow.
And they're constantly having contact with these little,
they look like little pellets.
They come from like recycled rubber tires. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're constantly having it in your skin. It's getting introduced to cuts if you get them while playing, in your mouth, in your ears. I mean, I used to date a coach and he would come home and there would be black things all over the place. You just couldn't clean the place. So I can't imagine, as an athlete, how much really get into your bloodstream. So they are concluding that there must be a link between these particles. And just to kind of break down what these man-made chemicals are, which make up these little black dots, polycyclic aromatic, I don't even know how to pronounce some of this stuff, hydrocarbons and volatile organic compounds. I mean, volatile just sounds
really scary.
Scary itself. But the CDC, the disease control, yeah, they are saying that there's no links, that they can't prove it, it's safe. And there hasn't been enough studies in other states to back up what the study in Washington has found. So I find it very interesting that there's not as much light shed on this. And I don't know why.
Well, for one thing, it's a moneymaker.
Sports in general.
You're right. My son played football, and that was one of the major concerns my husband had those little black pills.
Oh, and your husband is a physician.
Assistant. Mm-hmm. So he was really concerned about the playing on the turf because, like you said, those kids hit the turf, those little black particles pop up. They do come home with them in their shoes. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get rid of, you don't know how to get rid of them. And they're everywhere.
Everywhere.
And these kids, if they're playing football or whatever sports, they do hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And who knows, they're inhaling that. We don't know if that chemical with being so hot, does it put out...
Oh, that's true because it's under the sun.
It's rubber, right? Yeah. It's rubber. So we don't really know what type of chemical may be expelled from that as the sun hits it. And then you have your children or you have professional athletes. I don't know what grade they have as far as their turf. But then you have these kids inhaling it, and now you think about it. Kids.
And it's years and years. Yes. You know, the average athlete, if you start off, can start at like 4 years old.
Yes.
All the way till you're an adult. That's years and years of being in contact with these substances. It's just, this was another eye-opening topic for me. You guys out there, please chime in, tweet at us, let us know. Do you feel there is a correlation between the rise in cancer in athletes with turf fields? Mm. And, should we do something about it? Should the government be doing something about it?
Well, I think it should be tested. But now you have to think about, too, when you think about turf for the athletes, and now that people are now putting the artificial grass.
I mean, my apartment complex.
It has artificial grass.
Right. And I constantly work out on it. So now I'm going to second guess a workout on turf and go to real grass. It's crazy because, I mean, I know you and I, we talk about food all the time.
Right.
But how... we have to worry about our food, but now we have to worry about even our environment in which we walk on, we play on. It's like everything
is changing. Everything is changing.
Do you think it's changing, or is it technology is getting, smarter?
And I don't know. I still have to say it goes back to money.
Yeah.
And here in Los Angeles, they were talking about we had a big drought. So they were urging everyone to change their yard to drought tolerant. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you could save water.
Yeah.
And putting in the artificial turf in your yard, now you have to pay extra for that to get because that is like the trend of what we're setting. So I don't know if it's really technology. I mean, I would prefer to be on grass, real grass. That's oxygen. Those are things that you need in your environment to be able to breathe healthy.
I feel like whenever in anything we do, whether it comes to food or our environment in general, whenever we take away from nature, and we take anything away from its natural form, and we try to, remanufacture it, I feel like it's going to be harmful for us.
It's chemicals.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Still chemicals. I mean, so, you know, you got green tree, you got trees and you got grass. That's oxygen. That's all oxygen. And if we get rid of all that.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
All right. Next topic that we have is something that has been going around right now, especially in California, because it has been so cold. The flu outbreak is on a rage, and studies have showed that cold weather, a spell of cold weather, can induce the outbreak. So flu is on the rise, and the CDC this year predicts and says that it will be the worst year for the flu. So the first cold spell of the year, flu appears. It usually appears 1 week later from the first cold spell. They did a study 3 years, and they studied over 30,000 noses. They took 30,000 nasal swabs and collected, the insides, and they did this in Sweden with people who were rushing to get medical care, and they found consistent patterns with those who had viruses and the weather change. Mm. So it is proven that the first cold spell will produce more flu-like
symptoms
and other airborne illnesses than any other time of year.
Well, we've had our share of that.
Oh, yes, we have. And it's been a cold year. And I find this interesting, too, because I'm from Boston, and I've been here for 5-plus years now. Every time I call home, and it's, the winter time there, it's starting to snow. Everybody is constantly getting sick. And I didn't realize it until I moved here that every winter you don't have to get sick. When I was in Boston, I thought that that was just part of it. But because we don't experience as much cold as they do, I started seeing there is a difference. And even this year where it is cold, I don't think I've ever been this sick since I've left Boston. And it's because the weather change has been so drastic here in California.
It has been.
We have coworkers.
Yes.
We have friends.
We do.
I've been down, I don't know if it was the flu, knock on wood, but so when you hear stuff like this, do you run out and get the flu shot, or did you get the flu vaccine?
I don't get the flu vaccine. I've never gotten it.
Okay. Now, again, being the wife of a physician's assistant,
yes.
Tell us why you do not get the flu vaccine.
Well, he gets it.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Oh, yeah. He has to because he works in healthcare.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is just my own personal take on the virus. They said if they give you the shot that you won't get the flu. I just feel like I'd rather use my own
immune system
to fight off the battle. I think that if I, and this is just me, my own opinion, I think that if I end up taking the shot, that I may break down my immune system, and then I may catch the virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny story. I went to see my doctor just for a regular checkup, and he walks in with a mask on, and I said, hey, what happened? He goes, oh, I caught the flu. I'm like, really? I said, wow. And then he goes on through the checkup, and he goes, do you want to get the flu shot? I said, no. I said, did you get the flu shot? And he said, yeah. So I don't want to look like you.
And I hear this all the time, too. My mother, she has a compromised immune system.
Okay.
So her doctors are always telling her, you have to get the flu shot. And that's because when somebody who has a low immune system, they have a disease or other illnesses, their immune system is already suppressed. So getting something like the flu for my mom could, lead to something worse. It could lead to pneumonia. It could lead to a long hospitalization. But for people who are, for the most part, healthy, you should be able to fight it off.
Mm.
I, like you, I have my own take on the flu shot as well, because everybody that I know, including my mom, who get the flu, get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And people claim, oh, that's just the natural reaction.
Exactly.
You're going to get sick. But I think it might be, people trying to control.
I just can't do it. every year, get your flu shot. And they're persistent.
Yeah.
You better get your flu shot. You better.
It could be, money. You know how much money you know, pharmaceutical companies are probably getting from.
Oh, sure.
I know, I sound so bad. I should probably do a little more research on this.
But this is my our own personal opinion. I'm sure there's a lot of you out there that probably feel exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, still a choice.
In the study, too, it was explaining that virus particles from even a sneeze can spread more easily than in any other weather, especially cold weather. So cold, even dry. So, again, when people say, you know, cough into your elbow, you should cough into your elbow because you're definitely going to spread those germs.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Exactly. That's so true.
Let us know, too, if you guys are in favor for the flu shot or not. We would like to hear what you guys have to say, if you guys get the flu shot or not. All right, so we have one more topic, and it's about how Finland is now having a campaign to try to become a tobacco-free country. And when I saw this, I really love this too.
I
so
love it.
Their goal is by 2040 to have less than 2% of their population rid of all tobacco products. And that includes no e-cigarettes, mm-hmm. no snuff. Snuff is oral tobacco. They want to get rid of it in total. And what they're doing is they've put a lot of money into the marketing for stopping. I guess the promotion of, you know, you see the billboards and the magazines,
right.
you know, promoting all these different cigarettes and e-cigarette companies. So they have money out there to prevent that from happening. But now what they're doing is they're also going after the vendors and those who sell cigarettes, they're taxing them. So the vendors have to pay so much more money now if they want to sell cigarettes. And then they're also raising the cost for cigarettes to sell themselves. So mm-hmm. their tactic is, if we make it not affordable, then our country will not smoke. That's, what do you think of that?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I think that it's really a goal to try to have a more healthy population.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the things that cigarettes can bring on are diseases. You know, you can do lung cancer. You know, throat cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Secondhand smoke can kill or hurt a loved one or people in your environment. It's just not healthy, and I can say that because I was a smoker.
Mm.
I smoked when I was younger, and I smoked a pack a day. But when you're, it's addiction. So when you're in that, you don't understand how it affects other people and how it affects you.
Even now, you know, because I have consumed myself. So a little background. My dad owned a nightclub growing up, and I worked in the nightclub. So that's all you smell.
Smoke.
But now that I've converted, I didn't smoke, but I was so used to smelling it because of the environment I worked in. But now that I am living a healthy lifestyle, I don't work in a workplace that allows that stuff. Now when I go out and smell it, if I'm outside and I smell people, to me, you know, I can't believe that people still smoke after everything we know, how it can affect your health, and even how it smells. I don't get it. But then again, I'm not addicted to cigarettes. So
yeah,
like
so
you said,
it is an addiction.
And
it's really a hard one to quit, because you can get cigarettes anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the e-cigarettes, I have an issue with that. I just don't see anything attractive about this metal thing come out your mouth with all this puff of smoke like a dragon. You know, to me, that's kind of like, you know, really?
Yeah, and a lot of people are actually, especially young kids, the teenagers, that's what's cool for them now, and they're actually getting addicted to e-cigarettes.
Yes. And what's interesting, I don't know if you saw the campaign. I can't remember.
Was it Dare?
It was one of them where they show this young guy at home and he's smoking the e-cigarette. He keeps smoking and keeps smoking and keeps smoking. And it just shows that finally he just didn't go anywhere. He's just sitting there smoking his e-cigarette. So, I mean, not saying that it's like smoking marijuana, but I'm just saying it's addicting as well.
Yeah.
So people, you cannot use that as a step down from cigarettes.
And that's what Finland, the country, was saying.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to just get rid of cigarettes. They wanted to ban any tobacco products because like you said, they didn't want to move to another and promote a different alternative. They just want to promote a healthier lifestyle for their entire country in general.
I can see that. And not only that, we don't really know what the long-term effects are of these e-cigarettes.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know what chemicals, and I'm not really familiar with what they put in there. I know you can get certain flavors and things like that, but what we don't know what the long-term is. Just like when cigarettes first came out back in the 20s or whatever, they didn't really know what the long-term effects were going to be from cigarettes. So,
And I think, too, and this is me just thinking out loud, I think with cigarettes, it's a little more harmful because then, I'm not going to say, I shouldn't say more harmful, but it's different compared to other substances because you don't get a high off of it. Yeah, you get a nicotine high, but I feel like it doesn't affect your ability to work or function.
Right.
So I feel like it's even more dangerous.
It's hard.
Because you could do, like you said, you smoked a pack a day.
That's
you know,
a lot.
Alcohol and weed, you can only do so much and then you can't function.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But cigarettes, you can just go.
Cigarettes, you can puff, puff, puff. And it's crazy, too, because I remember younger, when I would go to the hospital, I would constantly see medical professionals outside
smoking.
Just smoking. And I'm like, is advertising and marketing that great that even our health professionals are falling into it? Yes, they have a stressful profession, but I don't see as much health professionals now doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've ever had that experience.
I have.
It just blows your mind. Or even, you know, outside of a gym.
You see
people and you're like, what are you doing?
I just walk in the gym and she's sitting there smoking a cigarette. Really? I mean, I have to smell this.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to go in here and do a healthy life, you know?
Yeah.
And healthcare workers smoking cigarettes is contradictory. Yeah.
My mom, she is up for a double lung transplant. She has a genetic lung disease, but she smoked for a good 20 plus years.
Okay.
You know, I wonder how much of that affected, you know, the deterioration of her disease, you know? So I love what Finland is doing.
That's
I
awesome.
Hope, you know, even this country could put more manpower into making the whole country less than 2%. Because right now, I don't know the statistics, but I know it's definitely more than 2%.
And I don't know if we really are talking, if our country wants to do preventative.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I think if maybe they would start doing more.
Well, they have CVS, what is it called? CVS Care. They started a program where if you, I think if you put money in and you don't smoke at the end, if you finally quit, you'll get even more money back. And a lot of insurance agencies
are starting
to give
people
money.
Incentives
for not smoking.
That's great.
And even just having, I know, for instance, my boyfriend, he went to go get his blood drawn. And he had to get it before the first of the year. And I'm like, why are you rushing to get it before the first of the year? And he said, because his insurance company would give him money back if he had
incentive.
Yeah, if he had good blood levels as far as cholesterol.
That's great.
And sugar.
They should do that all the time.
And it's really motivating people. So I do see our country moving in that direction.
That's great.
Even working in the gym, I have people who will ask me to write letters and confirm to their insurance agency stating that they do pay for a membership because they'll get money
back. That's
so
what I'm
thinking. I think our company is starting to go
our country
into the right direction. Now you quit smoking. Do you have any tips for quitting smoking? Because again, statistics show 90% of smokers fail at their first attempt.
I have many attempts, and it's really hard. So I get it when people say, you know, I tried and I tried. Yeah. It's really, really hard, but you have to be determined. You know, I did a lot of things that I switched. You know, I would chew gum.
Mm-hmm.
I would eat sunflower seeds. You know, my ashtray at that time was filled with sunflower seeds. I would do things like that. But I think what really got me to actually quit, because I was failing. I'm not going to lie. I was failing. Mm-hmm. But when I became pregnant with my son, that right there was That was it.
The wake up call.
The wake up call. I have to do that because this is going to not only affect me,
you,
now it's
going to
affect
child.
My child. So mm-hmm. that did it. So it's been, what, 26, 30 years
oh,
now
wow.
since
good
I
for you.
Haven't smoked a cigarette. And I am so blessed
yeah.
to not
no, that's
do that.
Great.
Because
yeah.
that's a nasty one.
Yeah. Really I think there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in life. For me, like, I don't have an addiction to any drug, but I'll tell you, food is...
That's right.
You know, even today, backstage here tonight, they're like, free pizza. And I'm like, oh, don't eat the pizza. Do not. And I'm like, I got these plain carrots. But, you know, I got to think of, you know, my health. And not say I don't eat pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I try to set goals. I mean, I was on the treadmill with you this morning.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to burn that off.
Yeah.
Throw that away. But yeah. for me, and I know a lot of people out there have an addiction to food, and that's why this country has a large obesity rate. And we see that in people who quit smoking. So what you said is you switched your habit, and I think a lot of people do that. Sometimes they'll give
food.
Up the
mm-hmm.
the cigarettes, and then they run to food because that's comfort for a lot of people.
But you know what also happens is when you're smoking, then you get a lot of tar and nicotine on your taste buds.
Mm-hmm.
So you really don't...
Can't even taste the food.
You don't really taste the food like you think.
Mm-hmm.
So once people stop smoking and all that tar and nicotine is gone, then you really start tasting the food, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
Then you start
enjoying
everything, and it's delicious, and
mm-hmm.
you just keep eating and eating, and then you go... Ooh, I better get to the gym. I better go do something.
Well, you were pregnant. I was going to say, did you gain weight after you quit? But you were pregnant, so
yeah,
thinking.
Yeah, I gained weight, but yeah. You know, when you're pregnant, you have a pass,
exactly, right?
So you can eat whatever you want.
We had a guest on here not too long ago, and one of the tips that he gave was if you are thinking about quitting smoking, you should try chewing on ginger.
Oh, I can see that happening.
Yeah, so ginger is what actually helped him go cold turkey and quit cigarettes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I think, too, having a companion or accountability partners, that helps. For some people like you, cold turkey, sometimes that's
the best way to go.
When you find something that's so important to you and you focus on it, and then you make it happen. So.
Yeah, that's just like your workout.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Just
thing.
Just like the workout.
Just like the workout.
All right, so we talked a lot about different studies. Let's talk about more about you being the entrepreneur
of
W29 Activewear.
Yeah.
You could talk about how you became a trainer, a Pilates instructor, and just an all-around, you know, motivational coach and empowering woman. How did you get into the field of fitness?
You know what? I was just telling the story today to a client. I have always worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I met my husband. He would go at the time when we were doing aerobic classes,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Like
go
step.
Whatever. We were all doing aerobics classes when 24 was Family Fitness Center
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And So we speed up, and I decided that I wanted to go back to college and get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to college to get my degree, but at that time I had two small kids, two
mm-hmm.
boys. And I was staying home and taking care of them, so I thought, okay, let me get a job or something that I can do that would allow me time to still pick up my kids and be there for the homework and everything. So I got a job at the gym that we're working at,
mm-hmm.
and I started at the front desk.
You started at Total Woman?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At the front desk. I was the one who opened the gym at 4:30 in the morning.
So cute.
Right? And then all of a sudden, Total Woman at that time decided to have a personal training program.
Mm-hmm.
And the general manager kept bugging me about, you should really do it. I think you'd be really good. And I'm thinking to myself, I do not want to be a personal trainer. That's not what I want to do. I want to
mm-hmm.
conquer the world
mm-hmm.
and the business, you know, corporate world. That's what I wanted to do. So, but anyway, I decided, what do I have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
I love working out anyway, so I jumped in, and this is awesome. I just love what I do.
How many years have you been a trainer?
It's been nine years
oh,
now.
Okay.
9 years I've been a trainer, at Pilates two, and working with women, it's just been so rewarding because sometimes we doubt ourselves that we're not strong enough because we're our age or whatever it could be. But it's all inside of us. And then that's what's so cool about being a personal trainer, because you're able to motivate them and pull it out of them. And
yes.
then they're amazed that, oh, my gosh, I can do that. Someone told me this morning, I can't jump rope. I go, how come you can't jump rope? You can jump, right? I said, let's just keep doing it. We kept doing it for maybe two or three times. And the next thing I know, she was jumping and jumping. And she's like, oh, my God, I can do it. I said, I told you. Yeah. So it just really gives people a boost of confidence also that they can do a lot of things that they, in their mind, believe that they can. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got into that. And it's the best. I love it. Yeah. I really do.
How did you become an entrepreneur? You have this amazing, and if you guys haven't seen her pants, you guys need to go check her out, check her handle out on Instagram, on social media, or even your website.
Yes.
What's the website?
The website is www.w29activewear.com.
Okay.
And then on Instagram, it's the same. It's just w29activewear. And yeah.
And what I love about your pants, Sherry, I mean, I wear them all the time. Are those pockets.
Yeah.
If you have ever been to the gym and you're like, I do not know where to put my phone, my keys, these pants, not only are they made amazingly, but the pockets really, I guess, are the signature of your line.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because being a trainer, you know, you always have to have your phone on you, you know, because your clients may be texting you and say, I'm running late, I'm this and that. And, you know, it's in your pocket.
So it's in your sport bra hanging out. I would shove it in my bra and then it might bend down and it falls out.
So you're trying to look at it and you got a client. And I thought, gosh, I need some pockets. So I've always been an entrepreneur. I did hair. I mean, you know, I've always been this person that's trying to create something. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, why don't I just do my own line? I know nothing about it, but you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And so it has been a learning process, and it's still a learning process because I really don't know much about the fashion or developing a product. But I figured, I can give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And so everything that I have made is made right here in Los Angeles. And that is kind of like part of my mission to, once the company grows, that we can be able to promote jobs here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's kind of what I'm doing. So I try to get the best quality. Yeah. I try to get the best everything. You know, I'm starting off pretty small, but I got quality, and quality is important to me.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at right now.
And I love, you know, when I see trainers, managers, there's so many different people, just women in general, who wear your pants.
Yeah.
I'll be at, you know, a gym and I'll see somebody walking by and I'll see the little W29. I'm like, oh, that's Sherry's pants. And it makes me really happy. But I love overhearing women, you know, when they get complimented on their pants. And they say, yeah, I love these pants. You know, they're comfortable. They fit me good. They make me feel confident. Mm-hmm. And they actually motivate people to want to look good in your pants, to want to work hard, you know, to see results. So when I overhear women wearing your pants, and it's the same way with me, I'm like, okay, I got to work out so I can look good in these. So I don't put you to shame. You know, I can make your pants look good.
Yeah, you can. Well, that's just like recently I had a young woman, you know her, who expressed her.
She lost so much weight.
It was really... I was really taken back by that. I mean, I was really happy that I was able to motivate her. Just a pair of pants was able to motivate her to lose over 25 pounds. And
in a year or less.
Her goal was to be one of the models for the line.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, this woman looks freaking amazing.
Yeah,
I cannot believe
that
putting on a pair of pants, that makes me feel
and
fantastic.
Not even, she wasn't overweight if you looked at her.
No.
She wasn't obese, you know. But you see the difference in her body. And more importantly, you see it in her confidence.
Oh, most
when
definitely.
When she walks around, she has this light about her. And I see that for majority of women who wear your pants. And for me, I know you as a person, and when I see people with your pants on, I'm like, that's Sherry.
Yeah.
That's how, just like in your training, you pull things out of people that were already there, and I think that's what your pants do.
That's
they
awesome.
Pull the empowering woman that they have deep within them, that confidence that they have that they don't even know that they have.
Yeah.
It's pulled out of them when they wear their pants and they're working to their goals. You know, I remember the first pair of pants you gave me, they were big. I was doing the TV show Fit the Best Fit. Yes. They were big. And I just remember being so embarrassed because those were the only pants in my closet that really could fit me good. Yeah. But I loved them and I rocked the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And then I remember this year you gave me a smaller pair of pants. Yes. And they were a little tight, but you know, it was such a drastic size and difference. And it felt so good when you gave me those pants. And I'm like, cool. I fit them, you know? Yeah. I actually fit them, you know? So
I mean, I'll
your pants were there for me. You were there for me at all sizes. So W29, those pants will be there for you through all.
Yes, all sizes.
Fit, fat, you know, curves and all. It will be there for you.
It totally will. Totally will.
I love that. Did you think that when you were creating this that, I mean, you also have shirts and
I have, yeah. I have a tank. I have a tank, and I have t-shirts that stated our motto was Living Fit, Loving Life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's kind of what I, you know, that's kind of what I preach. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. I figure if you're fit, then you're going to love what you're doing and you're gonna love your life. But, yeah, so we have limited mm-hmm. styles, which is fine because mm-hmm. I still don't want the quality to disappear.
Exactly.
Because we're just producing so much stuff. Yeah. So it's limited sizes and limited styles, but it's a great product. I love it. I've been wearing it ever since it started, so like, what, 4 or 5 years? And I mean, we wear these pants mm-hmm. every day. You know, trainers have to wear these workout mm-hmm. pants every day, and they last. So mm-hmm. I am the test marketer researcher person, so I wash them and hang them up and dry, and they last. So it's really a great product. When I see people in them, I'm very excited, but I look at it and I go, okay, I got more work to do. You know, it's going to get better. It's going to get better.
I know, because it's hot pink pants. Do you remember that? They're like the breast cancer awareness pants. Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, just I love what you have done with the pants, and I'm so excited to see the future of where you go with this line. Again, you're a strong woman, and I feel like we need to support more women like you who are entrepreneurs, who are starting from the ground up.
Yes.
You know, I love the Lulus. I love the Lorna Janes.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, it really means something from, you know, women who are living life, who are mothers, who are working at the same time. And to see you do all of that, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a trainer, and you have your own clothing line. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
So how did W29, the name, come about? Because I know you're Sherry Johnson.
Yeah.
But where did your name for the line come from?
Well, W29 is actually my mother's first name, her first initial. Her name is Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister and I, we lost our mother at an early age. My mother was 29 when she passed away. So W29 is really signifies us in a lot of ways to remember her. And so I was telling my sister that I was going to start this workout line. I said, I got to find a name. What name can we go? And we just kept going back and forth. And she said, what about W29? And I said, it's perfect because my mother was a hardworking woman who had, she was a single parent, she had mm-hmm. two kids, you know the basic story,
mm-hmm.
and I was just inspired. It's a way for me to give homage to her, and then it's another way for me to not fail, because that's what I don't want to do. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, so that's where it came from, and I want to see it grow. I want to make it happen. I mm-hmm. want people to say W29 come out of their mouth every time. Hey, I'm going to get my W29s. I want that to happen.
Yeah.
So that's my goal. That's my goal.
You guys out there watching, you know, before you run to the Lulus and the Lorna Janes and the Fabletics, please give Sherry's line a try. I promise your booty, your thighs will look amazing. Your confidence will be through the roof. I love everything that you stand for and your line. Valid. Thank you so much for coming
on
our
show. Thank you for inviting me. Yeah. I appreciate it. This is fun.
You are great. So again, reach out to Sherry online. Tell us your social media again.
On Instagram, it's W29 Activewear. Just look me up. Also, I'm on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, W29 Activewear.
And she has great motivational. Yeah, I get Facebook Live videos.
Yeah, I give
She's
topics.
She's up early, like 4 a.m. So,
yeah, and I'm telling
you. She'll motivate you.
Yes, I will. I'll get you in gear.
All right, you guys, you can find me same place, same time every week here Wednesday for Fit Club, and then online at social media at fitwithfallon.com or at fitwithfallon. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Christie, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.